So this Yahrzeit Drasha on Kriya Shema is divided into sections. Last time we did the first section. And just to give you an overview, and then we want to fill in with some of the footnotes that we didn't get a chance to do. The Rav is wondering, as many before him did, why the Rambam omits the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim in the Taryag. And he quotes Reb Chaim with two different answers. The first answer is that the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim is not a mitzvah kavua l'doros, and if you hold like Reb Loz ben Azariah and Ben Zoma that the kol yemei chayecha comes l'rabos lelos, then you don't have the kol for Yemos HaMashiach. So in Yemos HaMashiach there'll be a different kind of zechira. We'll call it zechiras ha-geula, but not the geula from Mitzrayim. The ultimate geula will overshadow, as it were, the geula from Mitzrayim. Then Reb Chaim gave a second answer, and that's the one that's really, you know, central to this Yahrzeit Shir, and that is that the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim is not an independent mitzvah unto itself, but rather it's part and parcel of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. And in fact, the third parasha of Kriyat Shema, which is the parasha of Vayomer, culminates with Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the lashon of the pasuk is Ani Hashem Elokeichem, which means I am your sovereign leader. And the Rav in a footnote number 4, which we're going to get into later, but just the first paragraph of that footnote, quotes a Mechilta that many, many times the Torah, in the context of Yetzias Mitzrayim, uses the term Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Elokecha means I'm your sovereign ruler. So when we recite at the end of the third parasha, Ani Hashem Elokecha Shehotzeisichem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, I am your God, Elokeichem, Lios Lachem Elokim, to be your God, then Yetzias Mitzrayim is the method by which we makabel all Malchus Shemayim. The mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, which is made up according to the Rambam on a Doraisa level, many disagree, but of three parashios, those three parashios, each in their own unique individual way, generate what we call a Chalos Kabolas Ol Malchus Shemayim. And they're all integrated into one mitzvah. So the mitzvah, if not for the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim, there'd be only two parashios of Kriyat Shema. We would need the third parasha during the day because of the mitzvah of tzitzis. But since we hold that Lila loves man tzitzis, therefore we would drop the third parasha. But the Rambam says that the reason we don't drop the third parasha is because of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim. Take a look on, if you will, on page Dalid. He quotes the Rambam, Umahu Kore, Sholosh Parshios, the Achakach Parshas Tzitzis, Shigamhi Yeshbat Sivu Zechiris Kolan Mitzvis, Afal Pishay Mitzvah Tzitzis Noheges Balaila. So why do we read Kriyat Shema, the third parish of Kriyat Shema Yomer at night? After all, Ein mitzvah tzitzis noheges balayla. Nevertheless, koron also balayla. Mitnei sheyesh ba zikaron yitzias mitzrayim. U mitzvah lehazkir yitzias mitzrayim bayom balayla. So the Rav claims the name of Reb Chaim that the reason why the Rambam omits zechiris mitzrayim from Taryag is because zechiris yitzias mitzrayim is part of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. As the Rambam says over here, that's why we read the third parasha. Namely the parasha vayomer, even at night when there's no tzitzis. And the Rav says that this generates a tremendous nafkamina. If Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim were a separate mitzvah, independent of Kriyat Shema, then all you would need is any sort of nuscha. You could have your own way of expressing your hodoya to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Mitzrayim. Why does the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim require the reading of a parsha, kiksava ukilashona? Because it's part and parcel of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. And Kriyat Shema, the mitzvah is to be makabel ol malchus shemayim by reading parshios in the Torah. The first parsha, which has within it many different elements of kabbalas ol malchus shemayim. It has the achdus of Hashem. It has Talmud, you know, Talmud Torah, Vishinantom Levanecha. What else am I missing in the first parasha? I'm missing something. Avas Hashem, correct. Avas Hashem, all these three elements. And then we go to the second parasha, which has a different element of Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos. I mean, Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos. And then we get to the third parasha, which either has Tzitzis, which is a Schir of all mitzvahs, but that only applies by day, or it has the Chiyus Yitzis Mitzrayim, which is part and parcel of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, and therefore it requires reading the Parsha, Kiksava, Ukilashona. Now, if you take a look at footnote number 4, because this is almost a shir unto itself, so if you look on page Bays, the right side, well, you don't have it that way, but the Rav quotes Rav Chaim as enumerating 4 differences between Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim and Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim. You see that paragraph that starts, Vehine Kibalti. And the first is that Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim only applies every night and every day of the year. And the Sipur only applies on Leil Tesfa. The second is, Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim is any Zechira Koldu would be enough. In Sipur, you have to be mefaret the nisim v'niflos. You have to go into detail and talk about the origins and the miracles and the development of the story. The third difference is that with regard to Zechira, all you need is to mention it to yourself. But Sipur requires that l'chatchil you tell it to others. That's called Sipur l'banim u'lacher v'gadat l'bincha. And finally, that Zechira is not a mitzvah unto itself, but rather is part and parcel of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim of Kriyat Shema, but Sipur is a mitzvah unto itself. The Rav adds a fifth difference, and that is that whereas Sipur generates a Chiyuv Hallel, Zechira does not. And once the Rav touches on the Chiyuv of Hallel, he's going to branch off in 2 different directions. First of all, he's going to raise the question, could it possibly be that Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim also requires Hallel? And he bases himself on 2 sugyas. One sugya is the Gemara in Brachas Yud Beis. The Gemara says that you can fulfill the mitzvah of Zechira. We're going to talk about this at great length by saying Modim Anachnu Lach, etc., etc. So there is an element of Hodah. And number 2, on page Gimel, in the 2nd paragraph, he quotes on the 4th line of Tosefta Yerushalmi that part of Hazkaras Yetzias Mitzrayim is mentioning Makas Bechoros and mentioning Kriyas Yamsuf in the bracha which we call Emes Vemuna. That too is part of the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim. So here you see, it's not enough to just mention that God took us out of Egypt. You're mentioning various miracles that took place, including the destruction of the firstborn and the splitting of the sea. So the Rav points out that that Tosefta is referring to a mitzvah derabbanan. On a Doraisa level, all you need is L'man Tizkar, Yom Tzeischa, just as Zechira called to, the most minimal Zechira that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. All the embellishments of Hodah, of Makas Bechoros, of Kriyas Yamsuf, that's all midrabbanan. And that leads to the other branch here about Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim. What is the relationship between Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim and Hallel? And here the Rav dedicates 2 very long paragraphs to this topic. The first paragraph starts with Biyachas, and the second with Baram. And Reb Chaim was of the opinion that it's not enough to recite Hallel in Haggadah, but you also have to recite Hallel B'tzibur on the first night of Pesach, as we do in the Beis HaKnesses. That, in truth, is a machlokes between the Mechaber and other poskim. And Reb Chaim was mora hora like the Mechaber, we should accept and implement the Shitas HaMechaber, that there's a mitzvah to recite the entire Hallel on Leil Pesach B'tzibur, above and beyond the mitzvah of Hallel that's integrated into the Haggadah itself. And Rav Moshe, the Rav's father, used to tell over that when Rav Chaim said this chidush, somebody got up and he said, why is that so? Why do we have to paskin like that? Isn't it enough that we recite Hallel in the Haggadah? And Rav Chaim got a little bit perturbed with this fellow. He says, it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Tanakh. Hashir Yelachem Kalelis Kadesh Chag. The Gemara in Erechin derives from this pasuk a mitzvah of Hallel on Yontif, but specifically on the night of Pesach, Kalel is Kadesh Chag, and therefore there's no reason to doubt this very clear halachic mandate that requires of us to recite Hallel on the night of the Seder. Again, we have to see why you have 2 Hallels, but hold on for a second. Then the same guy gets up and asks another question, according to this Mesoros. He says, But we already recite Hallel in Haggadah. Why do we need another Hallel? Why two Hallels? So Reb Chaim answered him. The Hallel in Haggadah is part and parcel of the mitzvah of Sibitzis Mitzrayim. But the pasuk in Tanakh, Hashir Yelachem Kalel Skarish Chag, has nothing to do with the Hallel of Sibitzis. So if that's an independent mitzvah of Hallel. And it's generated by the Kedushas Hayom, in this case the Kedushas Halayla, of Pesach. And Reb Chaim elaborated on it. He said that if someone didn't read Hallel in Shul, and he recites Hallel in Haggadah, he would fulfill, in effect, two different mitzvahs. He would be killing two birds with one stone. At the same time, he would be fulfilling the mitzvah of Hallel, as it's generated by Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we say in Haggadah, L'ficha chanachtu chayovim lahodus l'Hallel. And number two, he would be fulfilling the mitzvah Hashir Azeh, Hashir Yelachem, Kalel Skadish Chag, the Hallel of Kedushas Hayom. However, Reb Chaim said that's not the right way to do it. Why use one Hallel to generate two Kiyumim and fulfill two distinct mitzvahs? It's better to separate them. Recite first and foremost the Hallel of Yontif before we get to the Seder table. And then, when we get to the Seder table, to weave the mitzvah of Hallel into the fabric of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. So at a first opportune moment, namely when we were in Shul, davening Ma'ariv, we should recite Hallel, and Reb Chaim insisted on it, and then another Hallel at the Seder table as part of the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Ramban, at the end of Psochim, in the Melchamas on the Rif, quotes a Yerushalmi, Shanya, the Yishama Beis HaKnesses, Yotza. Interesting. Im lo kares ha'hal b'beis ha'knesses. If he didn't recite Hallel in the Beis HaKnesses according to Yerushalmi, then he'll have to recite a bracha on Hallel in the Haggadah. Notice, our Hallel in the Haggadah doesn't have a bracha, because again, it's part of the structure and the framework of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. However, B'medvar Mamurim, when can we allow you to drop the bracha on Hallel? That's if you already recited a Hallel, because you read Hallel in the synagogue together with the tzibur. However, if he had not read Hallel in the Beis HaKnesses with the tzibur, then he would have to make a bracha on Hallel in the Haggadah. Once he recited the bracha on Hallel in Beis HaKnesses, then even though he's repeating a Hallel in the Haggadah, then he doesn't make a bracha. What's the difference between Hallel in Beis HaKnesses that requires a bracha and Hallel in the Haggadah that doesn't? So the Rav says, this is in the next paragraph that starts Baram. He says number two, which is four lines down, Amiras HaHallel B'tor Shevach V'Odoya Shema Migufo Shel Sipur Mitzrayim. It's part and parcel of the mitzvah of Sipur, and insofar as part of Sipur, it doesn't require bracha, because there was no bracha that was established on the Haggadah, which is itself an interesting question, but the Rav doesn't go that far to discuss that question. So therefore, Hallel in the Haggadah does not require a bracha, but Hallel in the synagogue requires a bracha, because that's a Hallel of Yontif. Normally it's by day, but here it says Kalel is Chadish Chag, referring to Pesach, and it requires a bracha.
You wouldn't say that it would be the bracha would be a... if you say you make the bracha, then you make the bracha, then you wouldn't say that the Suda in the middle would be a Hefsek. On that pace.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to ask yourself the question. I don't want to get too far off, because our focus is on Zechirus Yisrael, but within the context of Zechirus Yisrael, this Hallel that's split into two parts with a Suda in the middle, that itself is a very...
Is a very perplexing question. The Suda is part of the...
maybe it's not a Hefsek, right, but then maybe you should be makbid not to speak in the middle of the Suda about anything.
Well, the whole thing,
you know, past the Knevelch might be a problem. I don't know.
But if you're making the bracha beforehand, then maybe it is going to be a problem.
Mm. You mean in a case of where you didn't make the bracha in shul,
right.
Yeah. So you want to avoid those issues. Now, let's turn...
Rabbi, if we're using that pasuk as the basis, why don't we say Hallel then in Sukkot's night?
How do we know that pasuk is referring to Pesach?
And why not? I mean, Chag generally refers to Sukkot, not Pesach.
Right, but I forget exactly how we know it, but this pasuk, since it says Shir, has something to do with the Korban Pesach. because when the Korban Pesach was eaten, it was eaten with a shira. And this shira is referring to the halil of Leil HaPesach. But we'd have to research that a little bit further. If you take a look at the Gemara in Erech and Daf Yudam and Beis, I didn't prepare that, so you might find a clue over there. You also would, I would refer you to the Harei Kedem of Rav Michal Shurkin, where he has long discussions. The Rav has, again, this was very young, very early in the Rav's career. Later on, he had whole new approaches to halal in Leil HaSeder, and there's a whole piece there. If you, I think we have it next door here. If you want, I can show it to you later.
And doesn't don't all these assumptions really, again, assuming that halal itself is d'oraisa? I mean, if we're connecting Sipur to halal, that assumes that the mitzvah of halal is d'oraisa.
Correct. And you'll find that in the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, which is quoted in this paragraph, Binogea. You see where he says, Sefer HaMitzvah Kuf Nun Zayin. And there the Rambam quotes halal, or hodah at least, as an integral part of the mitzvah d'oraisa of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And you should know also that the Targum, I think it's the Targum Yonason, on the Pasuk Vigadita, says that Vigadita is Miloshen Hodah, which is very interesting. Because it means that Hodah, also keep in mind that on Leil HaSeder in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the fabric of the mitzvah is fulfilled with the parash of Arami Oved Avi. And Arami Oved Avi is also the same parash that's read for a different mitzvah. Which mitzvah? Bikurim. And there it's for sure Hodah. You know, the Torah says that when you bring your Bikurim, you have to be Modu Takodesh Baruch Hu, and that's the parasha of Mikra Bikurim. Why is it that it can't be coincidental that the same identical parasha that was chosen for Mikra Bikurim is chosen for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? I mean, with one fundamental difference, of course. Whereas Mikra Bikurim is Torah Shebichsav, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is both Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. But notwithstanding that distinction, why is it that it can't be coincidental it's the same identical parasha for both? If you look in the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos and compare his language in Mikra Bikurim to his language in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kuf Nun Zayin, you'll see it's almost identical. In both cases, he uses the language of Hodah. Hodah is an integral part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why the Lefichach and the first half of Hallel is directly connected to the first, well, it's not actually the first kos, it's the second kos, but I mean to say the kos of Magid. Do you follow what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Magid itself requires Hallel. The Gemara, it's very interesting, the Gemara in Arvei Pesachim, to demonstrate that sometimes you don't even have to ask the Manish Tana. The Gemara says that one of the Amoraim, if you have a Gemara, I'll show it to you, so I don't remember who it was, he asked his Eved, what happens if a master would set you free? So the Eved said, I would certainly give him great thanks, you know, I would give him Shevach Vodoya. So the Tana, the adult, said to him, if so, you patted us up from saying Manish Tana, meaning that there was an integral cue of Hodah, because when we were saved from being an Eved, so we have to give thanks. I want to call your attention on Daf Hey, where the Rav points out in the paragraph Kasher, we saw it last time, in the Pirush HaMishnayos of the Rambam, that Yetzias Mitzrayim, whenever you see that phrase in the Gemara, is a reference, it's almost a nickname, if you will, for Parshas Tzitzis. So when it, for example, it says, you know, we have to recite Yetzias Mitzrayim Balelos, towards the end of that paragraph, it's referring to the Parsha of Tzitzis. And that Parsha of Tzitzis is recited within the context of Kriyas, it's the third Parsha. So the Rav again asks, what does Zechariah Yitzchayim have to do with Parshas Vayomer? And that's where he points out that at the end of Parshas Vayomer, we declare that God, you have taken us out of Mitzrayim to be our God, our sovereign ruler. We find something similar on the top of page Beis, where the Rav quotes the Sugya Rosh Hashanah with regard to Malchus. Interesting, what Pasuk is integrated into Malchus to declare God as the king? Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Ani Hashem Elokeichem are the key words when we're dealing with the Malchus of Hashem. That's Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Tzitzi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. So he asks the question, as the Rav does here on the bottom of page Hey, why do I have to read the entire parasha of Tzitzis? Again, Bishleim by day, that itself is Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, because the mitzvahs are, Tzitzis itself is symbolic of all the mitzvahs, but by night, where I'm only adding the third parasha for the purpose of Zechiris Tzitzis Mitzrayim, why don't I just skip to the last pasuk in that parasha? Why do I have to recite the entire parasha? So the Rav says that that too is answered according to Reb Chaim's Yisod. Had Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim been an independent mitzvah unto itself, all you would have to do is recite that last pasuk and you'd be yotze. But since, according to Reb Chaim, the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim is part of the fabric of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim of Kriyat Shema, therefore you cannot fulfill this mitzvah by just reading one pasuk. What you have to do is you have to read the entire parasha the way it's written. And not only that, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzrayim with your own personal subjective nusach, but rather you have to read the parasha kiksava ukilashon. If you want to underline that, it's on page Hey, 3 lines up from the bottom. A parasha which contains within it Zechiris Yitzrayim has to be read in its entirety. And that becomes part of the fabric of Kriyat Shema and Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shema. And that's, I think, as far as we got last time. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just going to take a 1 minute break. So we're looking now at number Beis, which is on page Vav. And the Gemara starts in Brachos with a statement of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Zavda. There were a number of different candidates for the third parasha of Kriyat Shema in that sugya. Parsha's Balak, and the Gemara says that Balak was not chosen because of Torah Hatzibur. It's a long, long parsha to read. But why did the whole parsha? Why did the Gemara think that Balak would be a candidate for Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim for Kriyat Shema? So the Gemara says, "Dichsivba," according to the Havmi, the Gemara suggests because Sivba kel motzio mitzrayim. Oh, says the Gemara, if you're looking for a parsha that has in it kel the yitzias mitzrayim, you don't have to limit yourself to parshas Balak. You can find shorter parshas which won't be such a Torah Hatzibur, namely parshas Ribis, for example, parshas Mishkolos. In all these parshas, we mention Yitzias Mitzrayim as a charta ki evad ayisa beretz Mitzrayim. Parshas Tzitzis mimai kavua. So why did they choose parshas Tzitzis? So the Gemara answers that there are many different special features to parshas Tzitzis that are all condensed into one parsha, one relatively short parsha. So the Rav asks the following. I don't understand. What is the Gemara's original question? The whole premise of the question makes sense. Mipnei ma kavu parshas tzitzis. Why did they choose parshas tzitzis? Who is koveya parshas tzitzis? Whenever you see all over Shas, kavu, who is they? Kavu, the pronoun. The chachamim, but what's going on over here? The Rambam holds that all three parshas are doraisa, including parshas tzitzis. So this is a mitzvah doraisa. What does it mean that they were koveya parshas tzitzis?
It can't be like chalamoid, for example, where
excellent. Excellent. Again, in the light of Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim holds that we need to connect Yitzias Mitzrayim to what? To Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, but what parsha?
So maybe that's what
the Torah says. Levan Tizkar Siyom Seischa Mitzrayim, but there are many different ways and parshas that could. Yes. Right? So the Chacham are going to choose that parsha. So hold on to this, Michael. We'll see how the Rav develops. But that's the direction the Rav is taking us. He says the following in the next paragraph. Yeah, parshas Vayomer is Doraisa according to the Rambam. However, it's very different than the first two parshas. In the first two parshas, Shema Vayishamoa, the Torah is explicit and says, Vayu Advar Ma'ela, etc., etc. The Torah tells you, B'shal B'chav Kumecha. And those are absolutely kuva. Without it, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. And there are no other parshios that could be candidates to substitute. Just like, for example, when the Kohenim Duchen, there's a specific parsha that's designated, and they can't read another, or Mikra Bikurim, or Vidi Meiser, there's a singular parsha. So too, with regard to the first two parshas. But the third parsha is a different halacha altogether. The third parsha is fundamentally a person fulfilling his mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim. So, if not for the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim, there would be no third parsha. The third parsha was integrated into the goof, into the very essence, the fabric of Kriyat Shema, because of the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim. Therefore, says the Rav, any parsha that addresses Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim could be integrated into Kriyat Shema insofar as it's a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim. So again, since the underlying reason and the halachic status that pushes the third parasha forward is the halacha of Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim, to integrate that into the fabric of Kabbalah Sal Mocha Shemayim, therefore, how do we know that Vayomer is the only candidate parasha that could fulfill this requirement of Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim? The Torah doesn't say which parasha to read. The Torah says, remember Yitzis Mitzrayim. So why are you being mafkia all the other parashas that have Yitzis Mitzrayim? Then the Rav says, Omnam Kenu, that's a paraphrase of a piyut from the Omnam Ron. She mitzvah Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim is kayemes Rak al yedei tosefes parsha chadasha. True, you, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiris Mitzrayim, you have to add a whole new parsha, third parsha to Kriyat Shema, and that parsha has to be read kiksava, not in any subjective kind of verbalization or expression. However, the Torah didn't tell us. The Torah didn't designate for us which parsha it has to be. The Torah didn't say it's got to be Parshas Vayomer. There's no indication whatsoever it's got to be Parshas Vayomer. The Torah didn't limit us and say that the only fashion, the only method of fulfilling Zechiris Yitzis is by reading this parsha. But rather the Torah says, read a parsha that has within it Yitzis Mitzrayim and integrate it into Kriyat Shema. And therefore any parsha that has Yitzis Mitzrayim in it could therefore be a kiyum of Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim through Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim, whether it's Balak, whether it's Ribis, whether it's Mishkalos, any of the above could have been candidates for Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim. The Gemara therefore chooses Vayomer, or the Chachom or Koveh Vayomer, because it has other dimensions and other features, other elements to it as well. But if somebody is going to say to me the following, why do we have to recite the entire Parsha Kiksova? Why isn't it enough to recite the last pasuk? After all, if the entire justification or the what pushes, what generates the obligation to read the third parasha is Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim, who says you have to read the entire parasha? By day, I know you have to read the entire parasha because the parasha is made up of tzitzis, but by night, you're reading it only for the mitzvah of Zechira. Why not suffice with the last pasuk? So the Rav says that in general, we have a rule based on a Gemara in Brachos called Parsha de lo paske Moshe anan lo paskino. We don't read parts of a parsha. We read a parsha in its entirety. In other words, whenever there's a mitzvah of Kriya, then we read the entire parsha. Therefore, e efshar hayu l'kvar b'kriyat shma rak pasuk echad. You couldn't choose one. Right, the Gemara says if Balak would have been chosen, it's a Tircha de Tzibura, because you'd have to read the entire parsha. And so too in the parsha of Tzitzis, it would not be sufficient to read Vayomer, because you have to read the entire parsha. What does that mean? Is there a prohibition in joining us against splitting a parsha? So the Rav asks, in order to answer that question, the Rav asks a different question. Sometimes two questions are better than one. He asks, the Gemara in Megillah, as opposed to Sugin Brachos, has a different formulation. Kol psuka de lo paski, Moshe lo paskino, anan lo paskinon. In other words, whereas the Gemara in Brachos emphasizes that you can't split a parsha into different parts, the Gemara in Megillah, on the other hand, says you can't split a pasuk into different parts. And truth be told, once you know that you can't split a parsha into different parts, then for sure you can't split a pasuk. Right, by definition. Anybody catch that? Yeah. Sure. Took me a few minutes to figure that out, but you guys are a lot brighter than I am.
Yes, sir, because you can split a parsha in between psukim. You don't have to split a pasuk.
No, but I'm saying, once I tell you you can't split a parsha, isn't it absolutely superfluous to tell you that you can't split a pasuk? If you have to read a parsha that's entirely, a parsha is made up of psukim, then by definition, there's no such thing as a parsha that splits a pasuk.
Except for Vahibin Soa.
Oh, okay. Or, all right, they don't do this to me, Chaim. It's not fair. Okay, look at the bottom of page Vav. We have a minig, and turning on to over to page Ches, we have a minig not to be mafsik psukim. We don't stop in the middle of a pasuk. Excuse me. And that really reflects the sugya, as we said in Megillah, of kol psukim lo paskim voshanan lo paskim. Avol parshios anu mafsikim. We do read less than a full parsha. Here the Rav comes up with a typical tzvei dina. He says there are two halachas. One is a halacha of Isra, the other halacha of Kiyum. In the case of a pasuk, which is the Gemara in Megillah, we're dealing with an Isra. By cutting a pasuk into two parts, we're really desecrating the pasuk. I don't know, for lack of a better word. In the second halacha of Parshios, that's not a desecration, that's not a violation, that's not an Isra. That's halacha of Kiyum. Whenever we have a mitzvah to read a parsha, then we read the entire parsha, and we don't split the parsha. But let's say, for example, in Kriyas HaTorah, what's the point of Kriyas HaTorah? It's not to read a specific parsha, but rather to convey certain ideas, certain messages, certain teachings, I guess you could say. That's what I think the Rav is saying over here. He says, Halacha zu shenemar ba'amira kiksova shayeches gam leparshas u'miktas parsha mufkas mikiyum kriya kiksova. You can't read a half a parsha, a part of a parsha segment, and fulfill a kiyum of reading a parsha. A parsha has to be an entirely, nothing less will do. For example, the Rav says, halo besugi de brachos, if you look at the sugi in brachos, it's referring to kriyat shma. And the Gemara wanted to recite as a third parasha, the parasha of Balak, because insofar as it has Yitzis Mitzrayim in it. The Gemara says, but you're going to have to read the entire parasha. Why? Because with regard to Shema, we require a mitzvah of Kriya. Kriya requires, when it's in the Torah, a Kriya of an entire parasha. We can't cut it up into halves, into parts. And therefore, if you choose Balak, we're going to have to read the entirety of parasha's Balak. And that means, that's what the Gemara means when it says called Parshat Lo Paski Moshe. You won't fulfill and obtain the kiyum of Kriyas HaParsha if you cut up the parsha into its parts. Not so in the case of Kriyas HaTorah. For example, on Shabbos, on Monday, on Thursday. Here, it's a whole other idea. Here, the Gemara Megillah is not addressing that at all. There's no halach of Kriya Kiksov of an entire parsha. There's halach of Psukim. Because again, if you're talking about thought units, there are many individual thought units within a parasha. And you might not need all those thought units, all those ideas and motifs in the context of your kriya. It might be sufficient to read X number of psukim that contain within it certain ideas that are necessary to read publicly. We cannot break up a pasuk. A pasuk is the most basic element or thought unit in the Torah, and that's the way it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That would be a violation of an Isur. However, the kiyum of not breaking up a parasha because of the kiyum of reading a parasha, that doesn't apply in the case of Kriyas HaTorah. And how do we know, says the Rav, how do I prove to you that with regard to Kriyas HaTorah, your unit is not a parasha but a pasuk? How do I demonstrate that? He says, take a look at the Gemara in Bava Kama Pei Beis. The Gemara says that originally they established one person reads three psukim. Or three people read three psukim. Each one reads a pasuk. At the end they were misakin that they call up three people and they read ten psukim. But everything in the Gemara Bava Kama is focused on the halach of psukim. And therefore you cannot break up a pasuk. That's as far as Kriyas HaTorah, where the Pasuk is the Ikar, because that's the thought unit. But sometimes the Torah wants you to read a Parsha. A Parsha is a whole that's greater than the sum of its parts, meaning it's an entity that has many different parts to it. If my purpose is Limud, Talmud Torah, Kriyas HaTorah, I can break it up into Pesukim. Those are thought units, and those are meaningful units of education. Each one has a tfisa, it has a havana to it. But sometimes the Torah wants me to read a greater whole. What is that greater whole? It's a parsha. So in all those cases that we discussed before, for example, Birchas Kohanim, Mikra Bikurim, Vidui Maisra, or Kriyat Shema, to bring it back to home, where there's a mitzvah of Kriyas HaParsha, here the kiyum of Kriyas HaParsha could only be obtained if we read the entire parsha. And that's why, Rabbo said, when you read each of the three parashas of Kriyat Shema, you really should have a focus or an, you know, you should have a thought process of integrating all the different psukim into one whole. As we mentioned before, in the first parasha of Kriyat Shema, you have Yichud Hashem, you have Avas Hashem, you have Talmud and Vishinantam Levanecha. Those all should be integrated into one entity. In the second parasha of Yom Shemoah, you have all the mitzvahs. And you have the schar that will be for those who fulfill and observe the mitzvah. So you'll have the vavadat mehera for those who don't. And then you'll have the mitzvah of l'man yirbu yimeichem, you know, l'man yirbu yimeichem through the mezuzah, whatever. All these have to be integrated into one fabric, one entity, and that's called a parsha. And the parsha has to be read as one indivisible entity. This comes back to answer the Rav's kash on page Zion. If you recall the Rav's kasha, why isn't sufficient within the context of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim to recite the last pasuk? Anochi Hashem al kasha tzisicha meretz Mitzrayim. That should be enough. Why read the whole parasha? Bishlema, during the day you need parashas tzitzis, but at night, Lila, Lavzman tzitzis, according to this man, so there's no point in reading tzitzis. The answer is you got to read the whole parasha. It's that whenever there's a mitzvah of kriya, you have to read the whole parasha. And everything seems wonderful until we get to Gimel. And here, the Rav says it's much, much more complicated than that. I'll just push it for another 5 minutes, and then I'll let you go. Actually, Gimel is not, I made a mistake. Gimel is not so complicated. The real complicated one is Dalet. Because in Dalet, the Rav quotes a kasha from the Shagas Aryeh, and the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Dalet, which is in the middle of page Yud, actually quotes a statement that to fulfill the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim, all we have to recite is Modim Anachnu Lach Hashem Elokeinu Shotzisanu Me'eretz Mitzrayim Pitzisanu Beis Avadim. There's no need to read a parasha. This is going to throw the Rambam Shita into helter skelter, and therefore the Shagas Aryeh is going to reject the Rambam. But just in terms of Gimel for a moment, the Rav quotes a sugya Yud Gimel Amid Beis in Brachos Elili Didach. The Amid Chose v'Gomer Lomalei LaDure K'dei LaHashki Yitzias Mitzrayim Bizmano. So here the Rav has a very interesting proof for Reb Chaim's Yesod. The mitzvah of Zechiras Mitzrayim should depend upon our classical universal definitions of Yom and Laila. And yet, oddly enough, we're going to find that the Zman for the third parasha of Vayomer is bound by the Zman that binds Kriyat Shema. So the Rav asks the following. Ulechor at the bottom of page Ches. Tzarech iyun ma'od. Amai lo name of the din zechiris yitzis tzraim shovel the din kol ha-mitzis anogis bayom ha-ksheris kol ha-yom. The Gemara requires that you recite Kriyat Shema, including the third parasha, within the Zman Kriyat Shema, I'll say the first 3 hours of the day. Beyond that, it's not possible. Wait a minute. Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, like any mitzvah Shabbat Yom, should be the entire day until Shkia. Says the Rav on the top of page Tes, this is all afla v'fel, it's perfect, according to Reb Chaim. Since Zechiras Yetzias is never to be viewed as an independent mitzvah unto itself, but rather part and parcel of the mitzvah of Kabbalah Solmach Shmaim of Kriyat Shema, therefore the Zman for the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias is identical, it's limited to the Zman of Kriyat Shema. And the Rav points out that not only does that apply to Kriyat Shema by day, or Zechiras Yetzias by day, it also applies to Zechiras Yetzias by night. Because the Gemara says in Brachas Tav Ches, the Rambam paskens like that in Perek Aleph Halacha Yud, that Kriya Shma Shel Arvis. Okay, we're talking about nighttime, my friends. Now, when does night end and day begin? I don't know. I think it's Hanetzachama. But in any event, what happens to someone who didn't daven Ma'ariv? If you're going to say that Amura Shachar is the end of Laila, then it's too late. And yet, the Gemara says that Kriyas Rashal Arvis can be recited with its brachos even after Amura Shachar, up to Anetzachama. So the Rav asks, I don't understand. If you want to talk about Ubishalbecha, so you want to say Bishalbecha generates a new Shir of Zman that extends beyond Amura Shachar, that's fine. But what about the mitzvah of Zechir Sitzi Yisrael in Parshas Vayomer? That should be governed and ruled by the classic definition of Yom V'Laila. When does Laila end? With Amud HaShachar, how then can he recite the third parsha of Kriyat Shema, namely Vayomer, after Amud HaShachar? The Rav says in his beautiful language, Nicha mitzvah Kriyat Shema tuliyah bizman shechiva v'kima she'ein shir laila, that once laila is over with Amud HaShachar, ma'akiva, it doesn't have any impact. It doesn't impinge upon u'bishalbecha, because you're not ready for v'kumecha. Which reminds me that people shouldn't get up before Hanetzachama, right? In other words, you shouldn't be sleeping on your bed during the time of Uva Kumecha. That's the time to get up and recite Kriyat Shema. But when is that time? That time is at Hanetz. So it doesn't bother me if you're sleeping in bed past Amud HaShachar. That's okay. But past Hanetz, that's the problem. Amal Pasha Shlishis in Birchas Emes V'Emuna, which is a mitzvah halayla, according to the Rambam, generated by Zechir Tzitzrayim, that should be governed by the classical definition of Yom V'Layla. It means that Layla terminates with Amud HaShachar. How then can he recite even the third parasha after Amud HaShachar, together with Birchas Kriyat Shema Emes V'Emuna? It's no longer Layla. The answer is Reb Chaim, that the mitzvah of Zechir Tzitzis Tzrayim is part and parcel of what? Of Kriyat Shema. And with this in mind, we can answer another kasha. The shita of the Rach and the Ri, that Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, can recite it before nightfall. We try to avoid that. You know, when we makabel Shabbos early, let's say during the summer months, we'll make Kol Kapaf and Tish and remind everyone when is Zman Kriyat Shema. But there are Rishonim who say you don't have to do that. And the question is why? It doesn't seem to make any sense. It's not yet Laila. And if it's not yet Laila, how can you possibly fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? So you may say it's close enough to Laila to be considered Bishalbecha, especially during certain periods of the year. But what does that have to do with the Parsha Vayomer? After all, the Parsha Vayomer is part of the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. The answer is that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is not a separate independent mitzvah, but it's part of Kriyat Shema, and therefore it's governed by the times of Bishalbecha of Kumecha, not by the universal definitions of Yom V'Laila. All right, we'll stop here. Yeah.